In the next few minutes, I want to share with you a message that can totally transform your life because of the subject. And the subject is the love of God in Jesus Christ. Just hearing this message once today has enough oomph in it, enough supernatural power to transform your life. It does. And over the last 25 years or more that I've been an evangelist, had the privilege of traveling all over the world, I've seen this message transform people's lives. It's really encouraging to see so many young people in this room today, because there's no better time to come to Jesus than when you're young. I did. I was a punk rocker in the late 70s, early 80s, hard to believe now, but true, in a gang of punks in Middlesbrough, not looking for Christ, not interested in God. But when I look back now, I tell you, I'm so relieved. I'm so relieved that I came to know Jesus when I was 17, 18 years old. So many people come to know Jesus later in life. Stuart came to know Jesus at 37. Hey, at any time, it's a great idea. But how much better to live the good life with the Lord helping you all the way along. Being a Christian isn't a breeze. Life's hard enough with Jesus, but without him, it's a nightmare. Don't do that to yourself. Not when you have an opportunity like this morning. When I finish speaking in a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus into your life, to meet him this morning for real. And that is just the most awesome thing that can ever happen to you. This is what Jesus said. I just want to read you the most quoted, loved, printed, memorized few sentences in human history. I'm sure you've heard them. Here they are from the lips of Jesus himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here is an important life-changing truth for you. You might not know it. If you don't know it, life is very difficult. If you know it and believe it in a shallow way, life is still quite difficult. God's will is that you know this personally, believe it, and experience it in a powerful, overwhelming way. And it's this truth. God loves you. He loves you. He knows all about you, including all your sin. And he loves you. And he wants to forgive you and set you free from yourself. I think someone's already said that today. That is so unbelievably true. Who is the biggest problem in your life? It's you. Who's the biggest problem in my life? It's me. Who poses the biggest threat to my happiness and my marriage and my kids and my family? Me. It's the truth. God, who will save? Who's going to save me from me? Jesus will. Jesus can. Awesome. God loves you. Philip Yancey, the famous Christian author, said that when he got in his 40s, he went to visit his mum. And he'd never had much of a relationship with his dad because his dad died when he was one. His dad died of polio. So he never had any relationship with him at all, didn't know him. Only knew him from photographs and so on. And he was looking through some photos with his mum one day in his mid-40s, having had no connection with his dad at all. And he comes across this photograph of himself as a baby. About one. And the photograph's ripped at both sides and crumpled a little bit. And he says to his mum, hey mum, why don't you throw this one out? This one's rubbish, it's all crumpled and ripped. And his mum takes over and says, that's the most precious one of all. She said, because when your dad was dying, he was lied in an iron lung. In those days, if you had polio, you lied in an iron lung which helped you to breathe. And for the last 2 years of his life, he had to lie every day in this iron lung. I went to visit him every day, and there's only two things he could look at. One was a mirror bolted onto the iron lung where he spoke to me. And the other was this photograph of you, pushed between two bolts. That's why it's ripped. Philip Yancey said, when she said that, something went off inside him. And he had a massive emotional reaction. And he felt a connection with his dad he'd never had. As he realized that all of that last year or 2 years of his dad's life, in the year of his life, his dad had been looking at him, loving him, thinking about him, no doubt praying for him. When he realized that, there was a connection. Listen, you have a dad like that in heaven, who's looked at you and loved you and wants the best for you all your life. Maybe you've never been aware of it. Well, be aware of it now, because of the truth. God, this God, loves you. He knows everything there is to know about you and still loves you. Most people who like me don't know me. That's the truth. Oh, Martin's great. We live it when Martin comes to speak. They don't know me. To know me, you have to live with me. Poor Margaret. And my kids, who know the real me. God knows the real you. The nasty bits, the secret bits, the sordid bits. And guess what? Amazing. He loves you and has all the answers for you. The whole Bible is just a story of a God who goes out on an all-out mission to save his kids who've sold themselves into slavery. That's what the Bible is. That's it. A few years ago, I was in France having some holiday with the kids and Margaret, and I was bored one afternoon. You don't get bored very often with 9 kids. But this was one of those occasions. They were out doing something I didn't want to do or something, and I was knocking around this house that we were borrowing at the time, and I found this kid's Bible, you know, with pictures and little stories in. A bit more interesting than the real Bible. No. And anyway, and I looked at these little stories, and it was true life stories. And I found this one that absolutely blew me away. All real stories from various parts of the world. This one was from Armenia. Sometimes these days, preach in Armenian churches, and they love this story because they remember this event. In 1983, Armenia had the biggest earthquake in its history. In 4 minutes, 40,000 people died, and the country was just flattened. There's a true story of this guy. He was working at his workbench, and when his world had stopped shaking, he did what any dad would do. He started running to the school where his little son was a pupil. He ran through the wreckage of the town and the buildings all down. He got round the corner, and to his horror, the school was gone. It was just flat. He ran round the rubble to where his kid's class was, and he began doing what any dad would do, digging. He began grabbing all the boulders and twisted metal and rocks and digging and digging and digging into where his son's class was. The unusual thing about this guy is he just went on after hour after hour after hour. Other parents, of course, came round. People were screaming, mourning, crying. But this guy was so focused. He just kept digging and digging and digging and digging. In the end, his hands were just blood. People tried to stop him. It's a true story. This guy would not stop. They tried to stop him, tried to stop him, and he just kept going. He told people later that the reason he didn't stop was he could remember a conversation he had with his little kid, with his son that morning over the breakfast table. He said to his son, I'm your dad, and I'll always be there for you. And he just kept going. Do you know, he kept going for 36 hours without stopping. It's a true story. After 37 hours, he heard his son's voice. He was alive. And he pulled a rock away, and in a tiny triangle hole, there was his son and his two school pals alive. And when he pulled the rock back, his little son said, Dad, I knew you would come for me. I told my mates my dad will come for me. That's an awesome dad. You know, I don't know whether you're aware of this, you actually have a dad better than that. A father in heaven who's come for you, who'll dig you out of anything. The Bible proof that this is true is always the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's a story of a dad digging for a son. The Bible is a story of a dad who sacrifices his son for you and me. Who sends Jesus to die on the cross. For guilty people. The innocent dying for the guilty. That's incredible. God loves you, and the proof is the cross. The cross is the biggest I love you this world's ever known. From the cross, Jesus speaks to you this morning. He does. He says, I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you a new life and a new strength to do the right thing and live for me. In a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to experience this. Christianity isn't about talk. It's about meeting God for real. It's about hearing God speak to you so that you know he's spoken. Some of you right now know he's speaking to you. Your heart's beating, you're gripped. It's not me. It's God. As an evangelist, I've known over the years, time and time again, in one sense, it doesn't matter what I say, as long as I'm speaking about Jesus Christ, his cross and his resurrection, it's not my voice, it's that other voice that speaks as we speak. The voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you now in your heart, calling you, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. God loves you. He wants you with him. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to have peace inside your heart like you can't get anywhere else. There's some stuff you get with Jesus you just can't get anywhere else. You can't get from money. You can't get from a good marriage. Happy family. You can't get it. That's why people are always searching, searching, searching more, more, more. People seem to get everything they want and start to undo it. Have you noticed that? They reach a peak, but then it goes downhill. That's actually what Jesus meant when he says that anyone who believes in him will not perish. You know, the perishing will stop. Is anyone here perishing? We're perishing. You know, those of us who are a bit older, let's be honest. Life doesn't get better, does it? You don't get stronger and fitter and your marriage doesn't get sweeter, and our life actually doesn't work like that. We're going downhill. No, you fall apart. Things break down. That's how normal life works without God. It does. My hair's falling out. I peaked at some point. I don't know when I peaked. I lost my spots and then my hair fell out, and I can't find my peak. It's terrible. I'm dying. So are you. And guess what? Going to the gym isn't going to save me. No, it isn't. I'm going to die. You're going to die. You're going to stand before God. In fact, the Bible actually says, I don't know what you make of this, but I believe it, that it actually says that before one of my days came into being, they were already recorded in God's book. That's amazing, isn't it? See, most people go to the gym. Most people who go to the gym are over 40. And most people who go to the gym have a fear of death, actually. It's not just about keeping fit. It's about living longer. You actually believe that, do you? That going to the gym and slimming, you live longer. Because the Bible says that God's already given you a certain number of days. And on the day he calls you home, you'll be going home. You might go home fitter. You might go home slimmer. You might have a better lifestyle because you're fit. I'm not putting down go to the gym. I went myself once. But he's the truth. We're just human beings. Things fall apart. Things are perishing. We're dying. But there's an intervention from God here. There's an offer of something else from God. It doesn't come anywhere else. It comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. It comes from experiencing forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross for you and me. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He gave his life for you. Do you believe that? Will you believe that? It's a choice ultimately. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Teesside, there was this village, some of you might even know this village, called Great Ayton. And there's some of you are nodding, some of you know this village. There's a little river that runs through it, and there's like a little weir that goes down. There's a famous ice cream shop on the corner. There's nothing else interesting in Teesside, I assure you. If you've been there, that's it. But everyone goes there, and when I was a kid, probably about 12, I think, or something like that, there was a butcher there was a butcher's right along from that ice cream shop. In fact, I think it might even still be there. You can check it out next time you're there. And one winter's day, he was working at his shop, selling stuff. And as he looked out the window, he saw a little girl cross that bridge that you probably know and walk along the side of the river, which is dangerous in the snow, and walk up to the weir. And he was watching her and serving people and watching her. And then, yes, you guessed it, she was gone. She was in the water, slipped in. And in a moment, he made a decision that was going to change both their lives forever. Jumped over his counter, ran out the shop, crossed the road, crossed the bridge, along the side of the river. Some other people had seen too, and they'd come running. And, you know, massively bravely, he jumped into this freezing cold, icy water and grabbed this little girl and saved her life. And he got her to the edge of the bank, handed it to the other people. But then, you probably can guess this as well, it's true, he himself had a massive heart attack because of the shock and fell back into the water and died. He gave his life so that she could live. He got into her mess to get her out. That's what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. He got into our sin and mess and trouble and suffering so that he can get us out. You don't even need to fully understand that to experience it. You can experience it before you even understand it. Stuart that night lifting his hand in the darkness, knew nothing. Jesus, come into my life. Never read the Bible, didn't know a Christian. Well, apart from his brother, I don't know. But he experienced the change and then had to figure out what had happened to him. This is supernatural. Christianity is something that happens to you from heaven. And I often wonder about that woman, because she'd be about my age now, that little girl. I wonder whether she's still in Teesside. I wonder what she thinks when she drives through Great Ayton. I bet she can't drive. I wonder whether she's got kids, whether she's married. She's had a whole life, that woman, because that man died for her. I wonder if she sheds a tear as she drives through. She must do. She must tell her kids. She must do. Grateful for the man who gave his life so that she could live. Listen, Jesus died for you. Have you ever thanked him? Have you ever received this forgiveness? Have you ever said, thank you, Jesus, I choose to believe it. Forgive me, come in, change me, set me free. Because you can. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. You know, all you need to do is believe this. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what makes Christianity so different from all world religions and cults. I mean, it works the opposite. Because all world religions and cults all work the same way. Whatever the goal is, nirvana, paradise, peace of mind, tranquility of spirit, heaven, right with God, whatever the goal is, here's the thing. You achieve it yourself. You build the bridge. It's how religions work. There's even a so-called form of Christianity. People think Christianity works like this as well. Be good, go to church, keep the commandments, and one day you'll get to heaven. Rubbish. That's why religion doesn't work. Have you noticed that some of the proudest people always say to me, religion has caused so many wars, so many, I'd have to agree. Because the most religious people I've ever met are generally proud. They're not full of love. They can be full of hate and incredibly religious. They judge other people, they look down on other people, they feel better than other people, because that's how human pride works. And when you're building your little bridge to God, you feel good about it. Christianity isn't so flattering. Christianity leaves no room for human pride at all. You are morally bankrupt. You are a sinner. And you have nothing to offer God except your repentance. And to say to God, God, I'm sorry. If you don't save me, I'm never going to be saved. And then he does it. Humility is the key. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be humble. We're going to stand up. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to the front. And to stand down here and to say by coming, Jesus, I want to be forgiven. I want to go to heaven. I want to know you for real. You can come with the person who brought you if that makes it easy, but come. You have nothing to be ashamed of. It's the best thing you'll ever do. Jesus died publicly for you. And Christianity is a public thing. And will give you an opportunity to come to him. And I'd like to pray for you, those of you who want to make that decision. Life-changing decision. Then you can take a little book to find out more about what's happened to you. And then go and get some coffee and all the rest. And you can start the rest of your new life. Because that's what you get from Jesus Christ. You don't perish, you receive eternal life. Religion is just human work. Christianity is a gift, it's a gift. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's finished. Not I'm finished. It's finished. Jesus didn't die with a whimper. He died with a big shout. Read about it. That's why the centurion was so shocked. He'd seen people die on crosses. People died over days and days, slowly, slowly, murmuring. Jesus died after 6 hours, having accomplished everything there was to accomplish. He shouted, it is finished! In other words, I've done it! It's done! He's done it. Christianity is, it's done. Religion is do. Do the right thing. You do it. Religion is do. Christianity's done. You just come to your Argos collection point. And collect it. Will you come to heaven's Argos collection point, which is the cross, and receive what's already purchased for you? You can't buy this. If you buy it, it's not a gift. It's a purchase. If you work for it, it's a wage. But if you just receive it, it's a gift. God has a gift for you this morning. My heart's beating for you that you'll receive it. Because I know how critical this moment is. It's a moment of decision. Very important decision. Your life can be transformed one way or the other for it. Let's stand and we'll pray.